There are two verses that are filled with great truth for us this morning that I trust will be a blessing to you. Romans chapter number 16, we'll be looking at verses 1 and 2. Of course, as you know, today in the United States of America, we celebrate Mother's Day. And a number of countries around the globe have on their calendar a day in which they celebrate Mother's Day. A number of them will celebrate Mother's Day today. However, there are some countries that celebrate Mother's Day on different days than what we do here in the United States of America. But it is interesting to understand how many nations recognize and set aside a day on their calendar for Mother's Day. Of course, we, as we have said a number of times already this morning, are thankful for the role of mothers, the role of ladies in the church, in the work of the church. You read about the truth in Titus chapter number 2, and the Bible gives us great truth there with regard to the role of ladies in the church. You can keep yourself there in Romans 16, but the Bible speaks about the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine. Teachers of good things, notice that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. And so there is a role that ladies play in the church. Of course, today we deal with Mother's Day, but speaking generically and across the board with ladies, what a blessing to see the role that God has given for you in the local church. This morning, as we look at Romans chapter number 16, we read of one such individual. As you look at the entirety of the chapter, Romans 16, you'll find that just as the case in a number of the epistles that Paul writes, he will, in the latter part of those particular letters, he will mention a number of folks by name. Some of those individuals that he mentions by name, we know many things about because they are referenced in other portions of Scripture. And as they are referenced in other portions of Scripture, and we compare Scripture with Scripture and study the Word of God, we have an opportunity to gain some insight with regard to these particular characters. Well, the individual that we're going to look at this morning is only mentioned here in Romans 16, verses 1 and 2. So I would say this, there's not a whole lot that we know about her, but I will say this, the little that we know about her tells us a whole lot. I hope that makes sense to you, because as we look through these two verses of Scripture, we'll make four observations about this sister. Her name is Phoebe. I've titled the message this morning, Phoebe, Our Sister. Notice in verse number 1 of Romans 16, Paul says, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church which is at Sincera, that ye receive her in the Lord, as becometh saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. For she hath been a succorer of many, and of myself also. Again, just two verses of Scripture, but with the four observations that we will make from these two verses of Scripture, I believe that God gives us some great insight into the character of this lady, that her name is Phoebe. Phoebe, our sister. The first observation that I would make is this. Number one, if you're taking notes, notice that she was converted. She was converted. Now, this is important as we begin to understand what Paul is saying and how he refers to her as Phoebe, our sister. He's not writing to his brother about his sister in the flesh. We find that he's writing to a church. He's writing to believers. If you read Romans chapter number 1, you'll find that he's writing to the believers that are in Rome also. And as he's writing to those believers, and as he himself is a believer, a follower of Jesus Christ, he speaks of Phoebe as being our sister. What does he mean by that? Why does he use that terminology? Well, we understand that Paul, as he was on the road to Damascus, in the book of Acts, as we read the 9th chapter, we read about Paul's personal conversion, when he trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. And what a great change was made in the life of Paul. Of course, at that time, his name was Saul. And as he was going for the purpose of persecution and finding any that were of that way, believers and followers of Jesus Christ, that he would have the authority to arrest them and bring them back to Jerusalem. And he was even consenting unto the death, as we read with regard to Stephen in Acts chapter number 7. But we find that Paul, his name being Saul at that particular time, he was converted. He trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior, and now any other believer would be referred to as being a brother or sister in Christ. And so Paul, we do not know much about Phoebe. We do not know much about her conversion. We do not know specifically how it was that she came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. However, we know that she was in Rome. We don't know why she's there. We understand that she was there probably for some sort of business, as it says in verse number 2, that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. But we understand that she belonged to the church that was located at the port city of Corinth. Cenchreae, as it's mentioned at the end of verse number 1, this is a location, the port city of Corinth. And we understand much about the church at Corinth. We understand as we would look to the book of Acts and read through the account of the missionary journeys how the Apostle Paul had the privilege of going into Corinth and preaching the gospel and seeing a church established. And as that church was established, we understand that they had many problems. Amen. There was a church that was full of problems, a church that, as the book of 1 Corinthians is written to them, Paul addresses a number of those issues. But we understand that many people came to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. In fact, it was the Lord Jesus Christ that appeared to Paul and said, I have much people in this city. And what a blessing to think about the people that were saved through the ministry of the Apostle Paul in the city of Corinth. But then, as a local church has the responsibility of reaching their region, somehow Phoebe came into contact with the gospel. And she trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as her personal Savior. And thus we find that Paul would refer to her as Phoebe, our sister. We think about this truth. We often today, even in 2021, will refer to our brothers and sisters in Christ as our church family. And at times, we will even maybe refer to somebody as Brother Michael. Why do we use that terminology? Well, because Michael has trusted Christ as his Savior, and I've trusted Christ as my Savior, and so we are brothers in Christ. And I could go around the room and mention each person that has trusted Christ as their Savior individually and say sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so. And it is an absolute blessing to be part of the family of God. Amen? And what a joy, what a bind that God brings in our lives as we are one with another and we can have unity in Christ and we have that family. I remember the testimony that was given a couple of Sunday nights ago from Sister Mady with regard to her family and speaking about the church and how when they went to Texas and they were there for a couple of years, but then to come back and she talked about her family, her church family. And what a blessing to be part of the family of God. And we find that Paul, as he's giving these opening statements in this last chapter of this powerful book of Romans, he introduces us to a character that we know very little about, but we observe, first of all, that she was converted. If you've not been saved this morning, if you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior, could I tell you that today is the day of salvation? Can I tell you that the Word of God says, boast not thyself of tomorrow. In Proverbs 27, in verse number 1, no man knoweth what a day may bring. The reality is that our days are short, and we understand that eternity is long. Solomon made this statement that man goes to his long home. And this morning, if you've not trusted Christ as your Savior, as Paul said to the believers even in Corinth, today is the day of salvation. See, we sang that song, When I See the Blood. Many of you know that particular song is referencing back to that event when the children of Israel were delivered from Egyptian bondage, the Passover. And we understand that as we read about in the book of Exodus, the way in which God gave the instruction to Moses with regard to this final plague, the death of the firstborn, and the process for the application of the blood and all that had to take place, we understand that God Almighty said that if the blood was not applied, that there would be the death of the firstborn. And we understand that that information was communicated. I'm thankful over and over as you study through the Pentateuch, you find something just recurring about Moses, and that is this: he was a faithful minister. He delivered the Word of God to the people of God, and as he delivered the Word of God to the people of God, he told them, you have to take and you have to make a sacrifice and you have to get that blood and you have to apply it to the doorpost and to the lintel, because the firstborn's going to die if not. Now the reality is that Moses couldn't make anyone do it. They had to personally, willingly sacrifice that animal and apply that blood. They had to exercise faith in the Word of God. Amen? They had to exercise faith. They had to believe that what God said to Moses and what Moses then communicated to them would in fact happen. And they exercised faith, and their exercising of faith was applying that blood. By the way, if in your mind's eye you could see blood on the side post and the lintel, you can see a cross and the picture that is given and presented to us. And you would find that as you read through the book of Exodus, that when that death angel would come, if there were blood, as the song says, I will pass over you. Now this morning, someone could have been as sincere as they possibly think they could have been. And they could have said, well, I know that Moses said we need to apply blood in this fashion, but I really don't think it's necessary. I think if we just stay up all night and pray, I think if we just try to help someone else, I think if we do this, that, or the other, that God will be merciful to me. Death would come to that home, and the firstborn would die. Why? Because God said to apply the blood. Amen? The Word of God tells us this morning that there's but one way to be saved. There's but one way to be converted. It's through the blood of the Lamb. Jesus Christ, God in flesh, He went to that cruel cross. We sang at the cross. I mentioned when I prayed this morning, I remember Miss Norma Jean, I think you were there. Miss Jackie was there. Miss Mana was there. And we were at the nursing home. It was one of the very early services that I ever had at the nursing home. And there was an elderly couple. The wife was in terrible condition. The man spent every day at that nursing home with his wife. They were from India. And we sang that song at the cross. And he said this: Sir, what is meant by at the cross? Whew. It was exciting to explain to him what happened at the cross of Calvary and how the God of the universe, Jesus Christ, took our place willingly on that cruel cross. He was buried in a borrowed tomb, and he rose in victory, conquering sin, death, and the grave. And I remember as I shared that truth with that individual, he had never understood before in his life the truth of the gospel. I wish I could tell you that he got saved that day, but he didn't. But we had opportunities month after month after month after month until his wife finally passed on into eternity, that he faithfully came to our services and he heard the Word of God. I had the privilege of speaking to him many times. He never personally ever in my presence told me that he trusted Christ, but I could only hope that he, having the knowledge and the understanding of the gospel, has placed his faith and trust in the finished work of Christ at Calvary. Peter said, "There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Jesus Christ himself said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." We understand this morning that Phoebe, as Paul would refer to her, Phoebe, our sister, she was born again. She had been converted. She had been washed in the blood. She was redeemed, and she was heaven-bound. And that's wonderful for us to understand this morning. And I hope this morning that as we make this first observation about this sister, Phoebe, I hope that you can say with assurance that I'm converted. I've been saved. I have assurance that heaven is my home. I mean, it's not a think so, hope so, we'll see what happens. It's a no so. Jesus gave much truth in the New Testament about the security of the believer. In John chapter number 10, he said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Oh, I'm so thankful for that truth. We find that John would say this in 1 John 5, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. Not that ye might think, not that ye might hope, but that ye might know that ye have eternal life. This morning, it's not about being sincere in whatever your background might be. It's not just being a good person, giving to church, helping people. It's about trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. There's one way, God said, to get to heaven. Jesus is the only way. And I'm so thankful for that truth. You understand that truth is under attack this morning. There's a huge Baptist church, I don't even know why they call themselves Baptist, in New York City that has thousands of people, and the pastor of that church stood in the pulpit and said this idea of Jesus being the only way is nonsense, and the people in the church applauded and hooped and hollered when he made that statement. I'm sorry, but we're not seeking to be politically or religiously correct. We're seeking to be biblically correct. And the Bible states that there's one way to be saved, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you converted? Phoebe, our sister. The first observation that we make is that she was converted. I noticed this, not only was she converted, number two, she was committed. She was committed. Notice what the Bible says of Phoebe, our sister. Notice the next phrase in verse number one. Paul says, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Sincera. Now, as you think about this description of Phoebe, not only being our sister, that she was converted, but you see that the Bible says that she is, which is a servant of the church. I'm so thankful for the great privilege that we have to be a servant of Jesus Christ. What a joy that this individual, Phoebe, that she was referred to by the Apostle Paul as being a servant of the church. This morning, as we would read our Bibles, we would find that as we read a number of the New Testament books, that they will begin with the reference of the name of the individual, the human penman of that particular book. And in many instances, you will find this reference, a servant of Jesus Christ. What a joy to be a servant of the Lord. You know, here as we would think about the service of Phoebe, we don't know the exact content and how she served the Lord. We don't know the exact areas in which she served. We don't know what her spiritual gift was, but on the authority of the Word of God, we know that if she was a sister, if she was converted, that she had a spiritual gift. The Bible tells us that. As every man hath received the gift. In fact, in the book of 1 Corinthians, there is much discussion about the gifts, right? They were in competition one with the other. I have this spiritual gift, and you have that spiritual gift, and my spiritual gift is better than your spiritual gift. And Paul tries to help all those folks out to understand that we've each been equipped as the Lord sees fit. Amen? We didn't get into a particular line when we got saved and said, I think this gift is what would work for me. No, no, we find the Holy Spirit of God has gifted us as He will. That's what the Word of God says. And as we would understand this morning that this particular aspect of the service of Phoebe is unknown, we don't know which area or arena of service was hers, but we know that she was known as being a servant. And that's a great truth, to be committed to the cause, to understand that Jesus has saved me, He's changed my life, and now I get to serve Him. It's amazing that God would allow us to serve Him. Turn over, hold your place here, and turn to the book of Psalms, and look at Psalm 100, if you will. We are familiar with this short psalm and what a powerful psalm it is, but we think about the truth this morning with regard to being a servant of God, and what a great privilege is ours. The Bible says in Psalm 100 and verse number 1, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Notice what it says, Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Notice verse 3. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endureth to all generations. We find in verse number 2 that the psalmist says, serve the Lord, how? With gladness. We sing the song from time to time, there is joy in serving Jesus. And we think about the truth of serve the Lord with gladness and the privilege that we have. Listen, when we understand who He is, when we understand that He's the God of the universe, when we understand that He saved me, He redeemed me, He paid for my sin debt, He did for me what I could not do for myself, what no one else could do for me, it is an absolute joy to serve Him. And he says, serve the Lord with gladness. Listen, it ought never be a drudgery to serve God. It ought never be it's my week to clean the church. It's my week to cut the grass. It's my week to... I get in trouble that Mr. Don's not on the cutting schedule enough. I called him to ask him to cut the grass. He said, I thought you forgot about me. Isn't that what he said, Miss Norma Jean? You ain't asked me to cut the grass yet, right? I like that he wants to do it. Brother Don, how old are you? How old is he? 87? He'll be 89 in November. I had to call the foreman for the Parsonage Project on Wednesday and say, hey, listen, I got an elderly fellow that's going to come cut the grass. I want you to make sure the hose is out of the way because he'll just run that thing over, amen? I said, so make sure that hose is out of the way. And here's what I said. I said, the fellow that's going to cut the grass is well in his 80s. And I said, I just appreciate his willingness to serve. And he said, did you say in his 80s? I did. Listen, there's commitment is required in serving God. But can I tell you that you're not going to regret serving God? And God knows your motives. We're to serve Him with gladness. It's not out of duty. It's I get to do this. I can't fully comprehend how amazing of a privilege it is to be a pastor. Honestly. That literally God has called me to be in this position. It's unbelievable. It causes me to rejoice greatly. There are times in which I just simply, God, I just don't understand it, but thank you for allowing me to serve in this capacity. And there are times when you get together at some pastors' conferences and you're speaking with other pastors and there's some that you don't want to be around too much because they're kind of just, woe is me. You know, everything's hard, everything's tough, everything's difficult, it's terrible. But then there's a group of pastors that, man, they just have that perspective that, isn't it wonderful serving Jesus? I'd rather do nothing else. What a joy it is to serve the Lord. Not only was Phoebe converted, but she was committed. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter number 2, a great verse of Scripture to really contain and really look at these first two points together. In Ephesians chapter number 2, I'm going to go ahead and take the time to read the first 10 verses because it's so powerful. In Ephesians chapter number 2, verses 9 and 8 through 10 are the real focus of these two points, but I want you to gather it in context. In Ephesians 2 and verse number 1, the Bible says, and you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. See, we were dead in trespasses and sins. We were dead spiritually. We needed to be saved and redeemed. And we talked about she was converted. The Bible says in verse number 2, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh, and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. You understand, according to truth of verse number 3, the Bible says, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past. At some point in our life, we were lost. Maybe somebody here this morning or somebody that's watching live stream is still lost this morning. They've never been converted. There was a time in my life that I was lost. There was a time in each individual that's here this morning that they were lost. But if they've trusted Christ as their Savior, they've been converted as Phoebe was, then death passed unto life. Amen. We had peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, and we were redeemed. And we find that this morning, if you are still dead in your trespasses and sins, notice the truth of verse number 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us. I'm so thankful for God's mercy and for God's love. It says in verse number 5, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace you're saved. We've now read about the mercy, the love, and grace of God Almighty. I'm so thankful that our God is gracious and merciful and loving. But you understand this morning that our God is just. He's just. And His justice requires that mankind is either redeemed, and the wrath of God was poured on Jesus Christ at the cross of Calvary, or mankind that does not trust Christ as their Savior will spend eternity in the lake of fire. You say, that's harsh. It's unfortunate, but it's the truth of the Word of God. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We find here that it says in verse number 6, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Notice verse 8 and 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You say, well, I hear what you're saying, preacher, but I'm going to just try to get there myself. It ain't going to work. I mean, I'm not trying to be unkind. I'm not trying to spoil your day. But on the authority of the Word of God, you cannot get there on your own. It's not by works of our righteousness, is what Titus says in chapter 3 and verse number 5. Notice it says, and that not of yourselves. But I'm a good person. There's none good. No, not one. And you say, how can you say that? Well, because you say you're a good person when you compare yourself to your neighbor. But you understand that the true comparison that would have to be made is with the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of our righteousness, as Isaiah said, are as filthy rags. We need to be clothed in the righteousness of Christ. And that's the conversion. But then we see in verse number 10, it says, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So we find that here Paul is referring to salvation in these first 9 verses, and then he's speaking about our service in verse number 10, that we are His workmanship and that we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Listen, this morning, good works cannot save you. It's very plain that it says in verse number 9, not of works. But I will say this, that if you are saved this morning, that good works will follow your salvation. Why? Because you're a servant of Jesus Christ. You're committed to serving God as Phoebe is. Why? Because we've been saved. We've been born again. And now these good works will follow. Understand this morning that the good works can't save you. The good works can't keep you saved. But the good works are the result of your salvation. I noticed this morning I moved the church van. I had it parked in the corner over here last week while we were away, and I went to move the church van this morning to free up another parking spot, and as I did, I noticed the beautiful roses that line the side of the property right there in the corner. How many of you noticed the roses this morning when you came in? I mean, they're just beautiful. What is that rose? It shows us, it reveals to us that there's a root system that's working. right? And the flower is the fruit of that root system working properly. And so this morning, when we think about salvation, we think about service, we understand that we are saved completely by the grace of God. For by grace are you saved through faith. And the root of our salvation is in Jesus Christ, the grace of God. But the fruit, as James often talks about our works, that's the commitment that we see of Phoebe here in verse number 1 of Romans 16. We notice that she was converted, but she was also committed. Go back to Romans 16, if you will, and let's look at a couple other observations or make a couple of other observations from this text of Scripture. We notice, first of all, that she was converted. We notice, number two, that she was committed. She was a servant of the church. We notice number three, the third observation that we make according to verse number two, is that she was compassionate. She was compassionate. Notice what the Bible says in verse number two, that you receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. Notice this, for she, speaking of Phoebe, she hath been a succorer of many and of myself also. Now, that word is a word that we do not use very often in our vocabulary today, but really it means to be a helper, a succorer, a helper, one that assists, one that helps. And we would find that as she would help, it's a reveals to us that she has compassion and that she was compassionate. I'm thankful that as we would look at the Word of God and we would understand that our God, as we look to in Ephesians 2, is merciful and gracious and loving and kind, but we understand that God is, He's compassionate. Often as you read through the gospel accounts, you'll read of Jesus that He was moved with compassion on them. And here we find that Phoebe, I would say that as the Bible says that she was hath been a succorer of many, that she was compassionate. Notice that she was compassionate towards the brethren. It says here that she had been, hath been a succorer of many. Now, we don't know who all of these people are. Paul's writing about somebody that he knows. No doubt the people that he's writing to are going to learn some things about Phoebe as this introduction is given in verses 1 and 2 about receiving her, as the Bible says there in verse number 2. She's traveling and she's going to be there. We don't know even for how long she'll be there, but Paul is commending her and he's giving this word of information to the believers at Rome, and he says that she hath been a succorer of many. Now think about that. Think about being compassionate, being helpful, and being a helper. I'm thankful this morning that God is our helper. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. But you understand that as believers that we too have the privilege of being helpers? The Bible speaks of, Paul talks about being a fellow helper, a fellow laborer. And we think about being a helper, coming alongside and assisting someone. I think about what Paul said to the believers in Corinth, and you don't need to turn there, but in 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, the Bible talks about God being our comforter, and it says this in verse number 3 of 2 Corinthians 1, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation," notice, "that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." And so God will allow, He will comfort us, and then He'll allow us to be a comfort to others. And so as God helps us, He'll allow us to help others, to lead them in truth. I think about the passage of Scripture that was preached on Sunday evening from Acts chapter number 8. And you think about Acts 8 and the way in which Philip was given that responsibility to go in to the Ethiopian eunuch. And he says, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" Is that not what Philip asked him? And you know what the response of the eunuch was? "How can I, except some man should guide me?" Philip was a help. Amen? I mean, he saw that man trust Christ as his Savior. He was active in giving the truth and helping that man understanding the truth of what he read from the book of Isaiah. Who's this man speaking of, himself or some other? And then what did he do? He preached Christ unto him. because it's a prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we find this morning that she, Phoebe, she was compassionate. She hath been a succor of many. But then notice the last line of verse number 2 in Romans 16. The Bible says this, and of myself also. Paul says this. He says, listen, not only has Phoebe helped many, but she helped me. Now think about Paul. I mean, we know Paul. We understand God has given us much in the Word of God about Paul, and we read much about his ministry and all of those things, and we have the privilege of reading about those that were his fellow helpers and his fellow laborers, and we get to read about those that he went on missionary journeys with. And then as we come to Romans 16, we're introduced to someone that we know very little about, but we find that as we read these two verses and we make these observations, that Paul reveals to us that she has been a helper. She was compassionate even to me, and of me, of myself also. Look over to the book of Galatians in chapter number 6, if you will. Galatians chapter number 6. Galatians chapter number 6 and verse number 2. The Bible says this, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Bear ye one another's burdens. We understand this morning that there are a number of one another commands in the New Testament with regard to believers as the family of God and the way that we interact one with another. We provoke one another unto good works, and we read about these one another commands, and that's why it's so important that the church assembles. Amen? That we're able to fulfill those commandments that God has given us. And we find here that in Romans 6 and verse number 2, it says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Listen, I'm so thankful that we have the privilege of meeting in person. The last year has been a very interesting year. There's been many attacks and many things that have happened, no doubt, in opposition to the work of God. And there's absolutely a spiritual aspect to all the things that have happened in the last year. I've gone by places where I read on signs where it says that they have preschool open, church online. I'm thankful that we have online ministry, but the church is supposed to assemble. We're to bear one another's burdens. How was Phoebe a succorer of many? And of Paul also. Man, they were gathering together. They were meeting together. They were helping one another. We read that this sister, Phoebe, she was compassionate. 1 Peter chapter number 4. Notice what the Word of God says here with regard to this same idea of being compassionate, being a servant. In 1 Peter chapter number 4, I referenced, though we didn't turn here, verse number 10 a moment ago, that every man hath received the gift, that if she was converted, that she had been equipped with a spiritual gift. You find that in 1 Peter 4 and verse number 10. But I want you to notice verses 8 and 9 with regard to this idea of being compassionate. The Bible says in verse number 8, and above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. For charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. You look at these two verses of Scripture and you think about the fervent charity that we have among ourselves. Remember, it was the Lord Jesus Christ in John 13 that said, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. And he said, as I have loved you. Right? He said, by this, by what? By your love one for another, shall all men know that you're my disciples. That we have fervent charity among ourselves. Notice verse number 9, that we use hospitality one to another. If you understand anything about the time in which the New Testament was written, you understand that there was much persecution and there were various places and aspects in which an individual that trusted Christ as their Savior, they would be absolutely excluded from the community. In many times, even happens still around the globe in some of the countries where we have missionaries, where an individual that trusts Christ as their Savior will be excommunicated from their family. And guess what? They have a new family, the family of God, the brothers and sisters in Christ. And they're to have fervent charity one toward another. They're to use hospitality one toward another. You read about Gaius, as John would refer to Gaius, and you begin to understand about the way in which John will reference this individual and this servant of the Lord, and how he was a man that showed compassion. He was a man that showed hospitality. As we think of Phoebe this morning, we make these observations from Romans 16. We notice, number one, that she was converted. If you're not converted this morning, if you've not trusted Christ, would you trust Christ today? What's holding you back? Today is the day of salvation. She was committed. You know, you got to be committed to serve God. We were down in the Outer Banks, and the pool water was a little bit cold. We were leading in the ocean. And my brother, he just kept doing this, right? Man, it's kind of cold, you know? Kind of cold. Just kind of touching the water with his toe. I said, brother, you just got to jump in. You just got to jump in. And so I'm the older brother, and I said, do I have to help you like I did when we were kids? Yeah, I just kind of messed around, getting the little nephews and nieces to laugh and all that sort of thing, and I just jumped in. Just go in. Listen, we think about serving God. Just get in. Just be committed to serving Christ. Say, as Isaiah did, here am I. Send me. What can I do to serve God? She was compassionate. Oh, that we would be compassionate one toward another. That there would not be divisions and all of those types of things that we see in the church in Corinth, but there would be compassion, fervent charity amongst the brethren. The final observation that I make, number four in your notes, it actually goes back to the first statement of Romans 16 in verse number 1. She was commended. She was commended. Notice that Paul begins this chapter by saying, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister. This commendation that she received, I think, is of great value for us to understand and recognize that this sister Phoebe had a God-honoring testimony. And Paul informed the believers at Rome about her and said, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister. And that's, to me, that's impactful. That under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, that the Apostle Paul, as the human penman, would say, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister. Man, that's a great testimony. That someone could make a recommendation, I commend unto you her. Have you ever recommended anyone before and then regretted it? When I was in Bible college, I made a recommendation for someone. I did. He wanted to get a job at the place where I was employed. I didn't really know him very well, but I talked to the manager and said, oh yeah, he's a great guy, you know, hire him, whatever. And I was just going off of a few things that I understood and came back to hurt me because that individual was not a good worker. It came back to hurt me. But Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, the Apostle Paul, he says, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister. Wow. Do we have the kind of testimony that someone could commend us? That God would commend us? We speak about the truth of the gospel, where the Bible says, as we would enter into his presence, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And this morning, as we look at Phoebe, our sister, and we think about the application of these four observations, it's really truth that each one of us can take with us. It starts with conversion. That's the starting point. It starts with conversion, being converted, being saved, born again. Listen, you're never going to be able to fulfill the role of being a mother or any other role that God has in your life without God's help. And we get that help by being His children or His child, is trusting Him as our Savior, being converted. But not only was she converted, we understand that she was committed. Are you committed to serving God? Or is it just kind of like a, if it's convenient for me? If it's something, I remember talking to a man many, many years ago, 15 years ago. He came to me, or he actually went to the pastor of the church and said he wanted to serve God. And so the pastor came to me and said, hey, so-and-so wants to serve. He came and talked to me, and I want you to help him and get him in this position, that position. There were a couple of ministries that I was overseeing at our church at that particular time. And I went to that individual, and I said, well, there's a Sunday school class over here, and we really need an assistant. We need a helper in this class, and that's an opportunity. There's also a bus route over here that we're operating, and we need another worker on that bus route, and it would be great if you want to help in that capacity. And this individual had been saved for a short period of time. I was actually discipling them. They'd been saved for a short period of time, never taught, no real experience. And those were the two options of ministry opportunities that I presented. And he looked at me, serious as could be, and said, I want to teach the pastor's class. And I said, I'm not sure that's available. And he said, well, then I'm not interested in those things. That was really sad for that individual. See, it's a privilege to serve God. Are we committed to serving God? Are we compassionate? Our God is compassionate. And we as His children, we're to be Christ-like, so we're to be compassionate. And then do we have the kind of testimony that Phoebe had, which, as we look at those three observations, makes sense to us why Paul says, I commend unto you, Phoebe, our sister. Why does he commend her? Because she was converted, committed, and compassionate. And therefore, Paul could make this commendation upon Phoebe, our sister. This morning, I trust that the Word of God has been a help to us, a challenge to us, and I hope that we'd respond, that we would take whatever of those points that would be most appropriate or applicable in our lives and say, okay, that's what I need to work on. That's where the Holy Spirit of God spoke to my heart about this area. And that's what I need to get settled. That's what I need to take care of. Whichever of those points it is, would you let God have His way? Would you say, as we sing the song, not all the time, but we sing it often, I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, I will trust you and obey. When your Spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart, I'll agree. And my answer will be yes, Lord, yes. We serve a great God. It's such a privilege to serve Him. Phoebe, our sister. Let's pray. Father, we love you this morning. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for the privilege of having the opportunity to gather together. We thank you for the Word of God and the truth contained therein. We thank you for the testimony of Phoebe and how we are challenged by her testimony. And I pray this morning that you'd use your word as only you can. We pray that the Holy Spirit would convict and work in the heart of each individual that's here this morning. Maybe there's one that needs to be converted. Oh God, would you help them to understand their need for Christ? They would not leave this place without knowing for sure that heaven is their home. Maybe there's one that's just not been committed. They have felt the Spirit of God prompt their heart with regard to commitment to service. Maybe we lack compassion. Lord, whichever area it is, I pray that you'd work and have your will in our lives. I pray that as we have these moments of invitation, that we'd do business with you, that we'd respond as we should. We pray that the decisions that are made are not made out of emotion, but that the decisions are made based upon the truth of thy word, and that they would be decisions that would endure. We'll be careful to give the honor and glory for all that you'll do, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Would you stand with me?